Spotlight.
This is Akashvani. In the program Spotlight, now we bring you a discussion on Keralam Assembly elections, key issues on the ground and political pitches. The participants are Shekhar Ayyar, senior journalist, and Rajesh Lake, anchor.
Good evening and welcome to Spotlight. My name is Rajesh Lake. Tonight we turn our focus to Keralam, a state that often stands apart in India's political map, with its strong ideological traditions, polarized alliances, and fiercely aware electorate. Our focus of discussion is on Keralam Assembly elections, key issues on the ground, and political pitches. Joining me today is senior journalist and political commentator Shekhar Ayyar. A warm welcome to Akashvani, Shekhar.
Thank you, Rajesh.
Shekhar, what makes this year's Keralam Assembly elections distinct from previous ones, both in voter mood and in political pitch?
Well, the communists have ruled Kerala for the last 10 years. I mean, two terms back-to-back under Pinarayi Vijayan. Under Pinarayi Vijayan, the CPM Left Democratic Front is seeking a third term. This is unique by itself. It also presents such a big challenge that if LDF does not return to power again, it means the communists have lost power all over India. There is not a single state that will be left where communists are in power. So you can understand the significance attached to this battle. And that is why the Congress-led United Democratic Front, particularly led by its campaigners like Rahul Gandhi, have been intensifying their attacks on the LDF, on Pinarayi Vijayan's stewardship of the state, and also questioning the Vikasanam, that is the Malayalam word for development, versus actual record of Pinarayi Vijayan on the ground, as well as they are also questioning Marxist claim that they have provided the best Shemanam, that is the welfare schemes for the people. So this battle this time is about the communist model or the Pinarayi Vijayan's model of Vikasanam, development, and welfare, which is Shemanam, versus what the Congress says it will bring in an alternative model. But apart from these two big players who have always had an alternative chance in forming the government there, there is a new player, a new thing which has emerged, that is the BJP-led front, which is seeing that there is a lot more confidence in the Keralam unit of the BJP than hitherto, which goes to show that the party has worked on the ground. There are several supporters, and all the meetings of the Prime Minister and also the meetings of various leaders who have gone to campaign have been attracting crowds. Now, that brings a question, can BJP really emerge an alternative in this election? Now, as far as Congress is concerned, after a string of defeats after the last Lok Sabha elections, be it in Haryana, be it in Maharashtra, then in Bihar, Keralam presents an opportunity to show that the Congress has still in it to emerge, rather re-emerge as an important player on the national scene. And being the home state of Priyanka Gandhi, in the sense that she represents Wayanad in Kerala, and prior to her, it was Rahul Gandhi who was representing Wayanad in the Lok Sabha. This election is also about the leadership of the Gandhis, their stewardship of the Congress, and also whether the Congress can really make use of the opportunity provided by these assembly elections to show that it is indeed the leader of the opposition in practical sense.
But Shekhar, it seems the Congress camp appears fragmented and is banking heavily on national leadership visibility this time. How far does that resonate with local voters?
If you go by, you know, the local elections that were held last year, which showed that there were several anti-campaign issues faced by the CPM minister, CPM MLAs, so much so that LDF performed very badly in the local municipal elections, which gave a boost to the Congress, rather indicating that out of the six, you know, major corporations, four were won by the Congress, one by the BJP, and only one by the CPM. So that itself set the tone that this assembly election is for the Congress to win.
Okay.
But what has happened is, since the last local body elections and today, there has also been a lot of course corrections by the CPM leadership and equally an aggressive presence by the BJP. So therefore, this whole local body elections of last year, are they going to be good indicators? Do the anti-incumbency factors which is plaguing the CPM ministers and MLAs, can be fully taken advantage by the Congress? And also, what about the internal unity factor? Because there are several leaders who are very ambitious who wish to be projected as CM. In fact, right now, nobody is sure who will be finally make it if the Congress comes to power.
So the BJP's Keralam strategy, Shekhar, has long struggled to convert presence into votes. Are you seeing a credible expansion?
I am seeing a steady progress in the way the BJP has grown in Kerala. See, 10 years ago, whatever was the organizational setup, the network, and if you compare it today, no matter whatever challenges that was faced in 2021 election and even to the previous election, 2016 election, this time in 2026, the BJP, the rank and file feel that this is an election where the BJP will be able to open an account for itself in the assembly and play an important part as an opposition. Now, one point is coming out clear, which is many Marxist leaders feel that a lot of things have gone wrong with the way the last 10 years of CPM rule has been. In fact, many Marxist leaders are themselves very critical of Pinarayi Vijayan, the style of functioning, and also the factors that have shown that despite several factors pointing to displeasure of the people or people not being satisfied the way things are, the CPM leadership has been blissfully unaware. So this election is also about BJP trying to tell people, look, you have tried out the UDF, you have seen the LDF last 10 years, why not give BJP a chance? This is the main theme of the campaign of the BJP in Kerala.
Okay, so development versus governance narrative, that's what I hear you say. How effectively has the ruling left government turned infrastructure initiatives into political advantage?
So in terms of infrastructure, one can say that Pinarayi Vijayan can claim several projects that were completed, which has improved the connectivity, which has also resulted in a lot of economic opportunities. At the same time, when it comes to welfare measures, see, Kerala model has always been touted as a model where the basic things have been taken care, whether it is primary schooling, whether it is primary health care, or special welfare measures for women, for backward classes, for scheduled tribes and scheduled castes. But that growth model has hit a plateau, where people of Kerala are beginning to feel that time has come to take a reality check. Now, largely the CPM leadership has gone by whatever its own workers have been feeding it through social media. And social media creates a reality that people are highly satisfied. But on the ground, there are questions of delays in the delivery, the questions of last mile delivery. So these are several things which are challenging the CPM leadership. Congress hopes to look at these gaps. But at the same time, when it comes to real future of Kerala, in terms of ambitious plans for Kerala's future growth, employment opportunities, where the BJP wishes to show, look, there is a limit to which these parties can achieve or even provide or implement, whereas BJP has a vision for Kerala. This is how the campaign is going on right now in Kerala.
As you rightly said, Shekhar, welfare populism has always been a Keralam hallmark. Do you think this welfare model is sustainable and how is it shaping voter perception today?
So the young people of Kerala, the youth of Kerala, they are looking at the kind of things that are happening in other states, be it Maharashtra, be it Gujarat, or even Uttar Pradesh. And they are asking themselves why certain big things are not happening in Kerala. Of course, there is a pressure of land because Kerala is a narrow stretch of land. On one side is the sea, other side is a terrain, which is a largely extension of the Western Ghats. There are some geographical challenges. But at the same time, you know, the Marxists have been unable to break the mindset, which has largely been because of the Marxist influence. Today, Pinarayi Vijayan and other leaders have been trying to change that image that they wish to attract investment to Kerala. But that kind of investment has not happening in Kerala compared to, say, Karnataka or Maharashtra or Gujarat. So without private capital being attracted to invest in Kerala, you cannot expect the problem of unemployment to be solved. Because a lot of Kerala youths are today going out of the state, seeking better avenues, better prospects. Why not in Kerala itself? We have seen in the campaign that the Prime Minister has undertaken in the week or so, you have seen where he has been repeatedly talking how time has come to have a completely different approach to Kerala. And he also says, whether it is the Congress under Rahul Gandhi or it is a Marxist model, they don't go beyond a point. Whereas a new thinking is needed and new ways of done. And also what has happened there is the way social demography has also operated in Kerala politics.
Okay. You mentioned youth unemployment, and that I believe remains a pressing issue even today. Do you see any party offering a convincing roadmap, or is it still rhetorical positioning?
You know, when it comes to the Congress, Congress is coming with a model that says we will improve on the Kshemanam or the welfare schemes of the Marxist and we'll give you a better delivery system. On the other end, it is left which is trying to show, look, we are not just that old foggy Marxist party. We are rather trying to bring changes. We are getting innovative, but we need some more time again, which means give us a third term. Now, the question is, are people of Kerala going to wait for and give one more term to Pinarayi Vijayan? What about the anti-incumbencies against their ministers and also the issue of corruption? See, there was a time when nobody could accuse communist leaders of indulging in corruption. Rather, the UDF leaders, Congress leaders were often subjected to such scrutiny. But today, Marxist leaders are also, even the rank and file are saying that corruption has seeped into their system. So therefore, there is a lot of questions being raised about Pinarayi's promise of a better growth if he gets a third term.
So Shekhar, in your reading, which constituency type or demographic block could emerge as the real swing factor this time? Coastal regions, women voters, or first-time voters?
See, I think all the three categories are going to play a very important role. All put together, and Kerala Assembly elections is not one assembly election. It is, I would rather say, it is an aggregation of an assembly election in every constituency of the 140 seats.
Okay. If you had to summarize the Kerala election in one line, what would you call the defining theme? Continuity, change, or confusion?
Well, I think at the moment, the picture is quite haze and there is a lot of confusion. But the big question will be, can Pinarayi actually make a third term, and whether Congress can get a handsome, you know, full-fledged vote? Or a situation may develop in which BJP may also make its mark with a handful of seats.
Okay. Fascinating insights there from Shekhar Iyer on the dynamics of Kerala's political landscape, a state that continues to challenge easy predictions. Thank you, Shekhar Iyer, for being with us on Akashvani.
Thank you very much.
You were listening to a discussion on Keralam Assembly elections, key issues on the ground and political pitches. The participants were Shekhar Iyer, senior journalist, and Rajesh Lake, anchor. This program was produced and presented by the News Services Division of Akashvani. You can listen to it on our mobile app, News on AIR. This program is also available on our YouTube channel, News on AIR Official. You may share your feedback about this program through email at airnsdtalks@gmail.com or WhatsApp on 9289094044. Spotlight.